I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I've used several different resources today, some sermons from the church here, and a book by Erwin Lutzer was very helpful, and then I also used the John MacArthur book on 12 Extraordinary Women. So a lot of what I'm saying today is out of these resources. It was very helpful. Your outline, you don't really need to follow it a whole lot, especially on the first page. I mainly just listed different scriptures, and most of them I'm either going to be reading or talking directly about. So maybe three times I'll have you turn to a particular scripture. So you don't have to do a lot of flipping, but I just wanted you to know where the resources were that we're using. Well, we have had a wonderful year focusing on God's sovereignty. We've seen this displayed in interactions with the creation, with the nations of the world, with the church, with different individuals. And I just think it's been really wonderful. You know, you realize the people that we look at in Scripture, Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, David, Ruth, Paul, and we can understand why God listed those. Some might have wished they weren't highlighted in the scriptures. I thought of this when Dwayne was teaching through Philippians 4 several months ago, and he mentioned Euodia and Syntyche. Can you imagine being put in scripture because you had a disagreement with another woman? I would not love that. But God had a reason for it. So next we looked at the general design of the woman, and she is made to be a helper. Scripture tells us that. That may be in her home, it may be in her home with a husband or with children, but most assuredly, it's for each of us as individuals in the body of Christ, if we've believed in Christ as our Savior. And God has given each of us different gifts to come alongside other people for their encouragement, for sharing the truth of salvation, and for doing the good works that God designed for us to do. Even before we were born. And that was in our song this morning. Well, last week we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she gets a lot of attention in the scriptures. So today we're going to look at Mary Magdalene, and there is not as much in the scriptures, but we still can be greatly encouraged by her life. So let's begin in Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. So these women were traveling around with Jesus, and they were helpers to him and the other disciples that were traveling. Well, Erwin Lutzer gives us a little bit more background. She was evidently unmarried because she was identified only by the city that she came from, which is Magdala. And I think you can see the name, the star there, just south and west of Capernaum. It is probably the modern-day Migdal, which historically has been an important agricultural, fishing, and trade center on the western shore of the ancient Galilee. The Mary we're talking about today is always identified as Mary Magdalene in the scriptures. There is one place where she's first called Mary, but by the time you get to the end of the paragraph, she's listed as Mary Magdalene. She's not the Mary who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She's not Mary, the mother of James. She's not the Mary of Mary and Martha. So when you read scripture, just be careful with that. She is the one who had been delivered from the power of the demons. And she believed in Jesus and became his follower. Well, the evil spirits who possessed her no doubt terrorized her. They were literal spirits who had an independent existence, and they tried to defy Jesus' authority, even tried to speak to him sometimes. There are other individuals as well who were demon-possessed in the scriptures, and we know that they were extremely violent. They often caused the person to be thrown to the ground. The demon possessed were at times unable to talk. Sometimes they were blind, unclothed, and very strong. On one occasion, Jesus allowed the demons to move into a herd of pigs, and you're probably familiar with that story. The number of demons invading people's lives range anywhere from 7 to 3,000. When Mary Magdalene met Jesus, he delivered her from this power. What an amazing change that had to be for that woman. More from Erwin Lutzer. Now Mary Magdalene became part of an inner circle of women who helped Jesus and his disciples in their traveling from village to village. They supported him by offering prayers, obtaining and preparing food, and showing their helpfulness through acts of kindness and encouragement. They also contributed financially out of their private means. That kind of tells me that some of these women were well-to-do. And yet, Erwin Lutzer says they probably were living a lot of the time in open caves and fields. So what a change in their lives. Realizing that these women were with Christ as he traveled from city to city, and as we read the book of Luke, it's just fascinating to think about the things that they observed, his healings and the teachings that he did with the disciples. What an experience. They were able to hear that teaching and observe his reactions, to the hatred that he got and yet the fame that he received. Well, the next time Mary Magdalene is mentioned is at the cross of Jesus. There's no indication that any of these women were present during the trials that Jesus went through. But once Jesus was placed on the cross, Scripture tells us that they were there looking on from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene and other women. We find that in Luke 23. What a comfort that must have been to Mary. Can you imagine if Mary was watching her son on the cross and had no one with her? They came as close as they could during the crucifixion of their friend and Savior. They saw the inscription, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews," inscribed on the cross. They saw Jesus crucified between two other men. They watched as the soldiers took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and then cast lots for his tunic. In John 19, we read that they were close enough to the cross to hear Jesus when he asked John, "Care for my mother." And then Jesus cried, "It is finished." Several of these women, Mary Magdalene included, watched as Joseph, who had become a disciple of Jesus, took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in a clean cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb. A large stone was rolled against the entrance to the tomb, and the women went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the grave watching this happen. Then they returned home, prepared spices and perfumes, and Scripture tells us on the Sabbath day they rested. I can't help but wonder if Mary Magdalene slept that night. This Jesus, who had given her new life, was dead. This person who she believed was the Messiah that they had long anticipated had suddenly lost the battle. Lutzer says, when Jesus was predicted that he was about to die, his core group of followers simply refused to believe his words, insisting that it couldn't be true. They found it difficult, if not impossible, to believe that the Messiah could be so helpless as to be overcome by evil men. But now Jesus was dead. And they most assuredly did not expect that, but they also did not expect a resurrection. Well, at this point, rather than include all the details of the resurrection, which we've had a wonderful weekend to enjoy and remember. I'm just going to focus on the ones that mention Mary Magdalene. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, James's mother, and Salome came to look at the grave. The story of the crucifixion of Christ is told in all four Gospels. Different writers included different parts that happened that day. And when I began to study this, I got very confused. Bill Cooley has recently covered all of this chronologically in his study in the book of Luke, and I think you would enjoy listening to it as he covered Luke 24. You'll probably have to listen to like five lessons on Luke 24, but it's really helpful. He made the stories come together in a beautiful way so that I could understand it. I appreciated one comment that he made, that we can be encouraged that different authors included different aspects of the resurrection. He said, it adds to the authenticity of God's word that the authors just didn't copy what another man had written. That makes sense. So the women brought the spices which they had prepared, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? As we blend the gospel accounts, we find that Mary Magdalene ran ahead of the others, arriving at the tomb first. She was expecting to add spices to the dead body of Jesus. She didn't know that the rulers had stationed guards at the tomb, only that there was a stone at the doorway. What faith these women showed to approach the tomb, thinking there's a stone there. How do we get in? Turn with me to John 20. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Silas and Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Peter and John ran to the tomb. Scripture tells us that John the disciple got there first, but he didn't go in. But Peter, stooping and looking in, entered the tomb, saw the linen wrappings, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Then John also entered the tomb, and he saw, and Scripture tells us that he believed. Now verse 9 in chapter 20 says, for as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Remember that little phrase there, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Now let's go to verses 10 and 11. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, was standing outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Christ, the risen Savior, spoke one word. he called Mary by name. John 10, verses 3 and 4 says, "The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and they know his voice." Ladies, God knows your name. We live in a world where we've been given a number at our birth and a number on our death certificate. We're known by our social security number and our credit card numbers. But God knows who you are personally. He knows who the woman is in the 20th floor of the apartment building in New York City. He knows who the woman is in Brazil sorting out beans. He knows each one of us by name. Scripture says he calls us by name. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The Lord knows those who are his." Let's read verse 18 now. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the rest of the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. And we read that in Luke chapter 24. Well, Jesus gave Mary Magdalene the honor of being the first person to see and hear him after his resurrection. Others had already seen the empty tomb and believed the word from the mouth of the angels. But Mary got to hear it from Jesus himself. It even seemed important to record this event in the record given by Mark as he wrote in his gospel. When Jesus arose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. That was her legacy. Bill Cooley, in his lesson on Luke 24, explained that in the Old Testament, it tells us that every fact is to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. In the gospel accounts, we're told that acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee watched his death on the cross. So we had several witnesses there. That would also include John, because Jesus spoke to him, asking him to care for his mother. And then in verse 55 of Luke 23, we read that the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed, so they're continuing to be witnesses, and saw the tomb and saw how his body was laid. Now these women were the ones who saw the empty tomb. These women continued to be witnesses. They saw Jesus dead and buried. But Mary Magdalene actually saw Jesus alive. She was the first witness. 1 Corinthians then tells us that there were many others, including 500 at one time, who saw the risen Christ. So we have plenty of witnesses to confirm what happened with Christ. Well, Mary Magdalene loved Jesus deeply. The focus and example of her life tells us this fact. We know nothing about Mary Magdalene's family. Maybe they rejected her when she was still possessed with the demons. She probably wouldn't have been an easy person to be around. All we know is that Jesus rescued her. She was a changed person, and she lived her life in service to him. It may be that someone listening today considers herself to be rejected by family and lacks the opportunity to serve her family in a way that our nurturing nature just wants us to do. May I encourage you to look around you? God has placed you, if you're a believer, in a family of believers. Ask God to help you find that woman, that child, that senior citizen who also longs for family. Become their helper, their friend, their sister in Christ. I must insert here that I've seen Mary Magdalene's come along someone else as a helper in this body of Christ. Well, until now, Mary didn't understand that Jesus must die and that he must rise again to be her Savior. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And see why the resurrection is so important. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." When Christ died on the cross, there were two others beside him that died on crosses also. In fact, crucifixion was a very favorite punishment for the Romans. Hundreds of people died on crosses. Many people believe that Jesus was a great man who taught great truths, and he was a great example for us to follow. But ladies, we need more than a great example to follow. Verse 19 in that same chapter says, "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." Christ's death was a payment for the sin of all mankind, but his resurrection was the proof that the penalty had been paid for all time for those who believe. The resurrection was essential to show that Christ had completed the payment and sin was conquered. If there was only a man who died on a cross to pay a penalty for sin, but death won, then there's no promise for us of a life to come, no resurrection, no heaven, no Savior who is alive for us to worship today. I've spent time with many women who love their children, or their husband, or their mom, or dad, in a very special way. These women have been and continue to be wonderful examples to me. We are to be women whose lives display that we also love our Savior deeply. In fact, ladies, we're to love our Savior more than we love these other special people in our lives. Scripture doesn't tell us any more about Mary Magdalene. She could have been present when Jesus suddenly appeared in a room of people after his resurrection. She was probably there observing when Jesus rose into the heavens, because she had been the one to deliver the message that they should go to Galilee. She would have heard Jesus' command to go into all the world to tell the story of Jesus to everyone who needs to hear. And I believe Mary Magdalene did that. In fact, Mary Magdalene was the first one that Christ instructed, "Go, tell. Go to my brothers and tell them. I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You realize this is the first time that Jesus called the disciples his brothers, implying that there was a new spiritual family. And when he said this to Mary, he included Mary in that family as well. So she was the first witness to the resurrection of Christ and the first one to carry the news. Mary was faithful. She didn't desert him in his death, and she was there to anoint his body in the tomb. She was willing to search for his missing body. She loved him as one who had changed her life and had given her something to live for. And Jesus trusted her to get the message to the disciples. That just is thrilling to me. She was a changed woman. We don't know how or when Mary Magdalene was delivered, but Christ set her free. He set her free, but she became a slave of righteousness and a servant of Jesus Christ. She had been healed from 7 demons. She had walked with and served Jesus. To stand at the cross and not know that there's a resurrection would be a cause for despair, but to see the Lord alive and remember his words back when he had been speaking to the disciples, and he said, "Because I live, you also will live." And that brings us hope, and it brings us joy. Well, what are some of the character qualities that we see in Mary Magdalene? First of all, she had to be a grateful person. She owed everything to Christ. Her subsequent love for him reflected the depth of her gratitude. She was faithful. Our next insight into Mary Magdalene's life comes when Jesus was teaching parables. And in the scriptures, we read that there were some times when Jesus was teaching parables, and some of the people who were following him just walked away. They just couldn't believe what he was saying. They became offended. But that didn't happen with Mary Magdalene. She remained faithfully by his side. She was full of faith. And we see this as she walked towards the tomb, carrying the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, I would have lacked faith way back when you were even talking about putting spices together. I would have said, we're going to do what? The tomb is covered up with a big rock. And we're going to get spices and try to go in there and anoint Jesus' body. No, that's not going to happen. But she was full of faith. She was courageous. She followed Jesus all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem for the final Passover and ended up following him to the cross. What emotions there must have been when they first entered Jerusalem and there was all of this fame. You know, the things that we talk about on Palm Sunday. And then the change within a week where crowds are crying against him. Mary Magdalene and other women were the faithful ones who stood at the cross. They heard him speak to John, committing his mother to John's care. As the crucifixion continued, the women watched from afar, not wanting to watch, but choosing not to leave him either. Mary Magdalene was a comforter. Of all of the disciples, scripture only speaks of John's presence at the cross. Judas had betrayed him, and there's nothing at the time of Jesus being on the cross that mentions any of the other 10 disciples. Mary Magdalene stayed close by Jesus' mother, watching and weeping as they saw Jesus' body tortured and finally killed. She and the other women remained close by Christ. Then they followed Joseph, the member of the Sanhedrin, who asked for the body of Jesus for burial. All four Gospels record that Mary Magdalene accompanied Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that tells me that that was important to the writers of the Gospels as well. You know, some of those were disciples, and I wonder what thoughts ran through their minds as they're writing the Gospel. They weren't probably there, but they realized that Mary Magdalene was. Jesus' mother didn't have to go through that alone. Mary Magdalene was a servant. She and several friends spent that time preparing and gathering spices for Jesus' body. And when the Sabbath was over, they even gathered some more spices to give him a burial worthy of the one that they loved. When she and her friends walked to the tomb after the Sabbath, there wasn't a thought in their mind of a resurrected Christ. They were thinking of going to anoint a dead body. She had seen Jesus' body tortured. She had seen the life ebbing out of him. Now they just wanted to go to the tomb and express their love to the Master. Mary Magdalene was obedient. The angel instructed the women, "Go, tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead." They went out from the tomb with fear and great joy. At this point, I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing at Christmas time, and it said, Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. Do any of you remember that song? Well, that was speaking of Mary, the mother of Christ, as she carried the Savior in her womb. But you know what? Mary Magdalene was really the first one to carry the truth of a resurrected Christ who had died for the sins of each one of us. Well, how can this encourage us today? Ladies, God knows your name. He knows your thoughts. He knows who you are. He knows your background. And he calls us each by name. Every sinner has a past, but every saint has a future. Luke and Mark mention Mary Magdalene's former life only to let us know how God rescued her. It's a celebration of Christ's goodness and his mercy. Without amplifying the details of her past, they mention that just to speak of the power of Christ in her life. Mary Magdalene owed everything to Christ. Her service to him and devoted attention and love reflect her gratitude. The bulk of what we know about Mary Magdalene is after she became a follower of Christ. So you know what, ladies? Let's focus on that in our lives as well. As we tell other people about our life, the details of our life before Christ should pale in importance to what he's done for us since we've come to know him. We can rejoice about him saving us from sin, but we should concentrate our thoughts and our words on what our lives are now to be as his child. God gives gifts to women, and he includes each of us as essential to his body. During the pandemic, we heard a lot about essential workers. Well, ladies, each one of us are essential workers to the body of Christ. Romans 12:6 says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." You are essential with the gift God has given you. I'd like to use the last paragraph as our prayer. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, knowing what you have done for us in sending your Son to die for us, we can and we should serve Jesus Christ willingly, passionately, and boldly. We want to be servants in the body of Christ. We want to respond willingly when someone asks us to do a task. And dear Father, we want to be bold in telling others about the change in our life because God has taken us from darkness to life, and how thankful we are. In Jesus' precious resurrected name, we pray. Amen.